Brothers and sisters, let us first acknowledge our dependence on God and confess our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Receive the Lord's greeting. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's now sing in response from Psalm 33, verse 1. Now with the Church of all ages, profess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. And we'll do that by singing hymn 1. For God in prayer, we'll pray. Father in heaven, how wonderful it is we can be together again this afternoon, and that we can do this in freedom. Father, we pray for those who haven't that, don't experience that privilege. Encourage and strengthen them who experience persecution because of their faith. Grant perseverance. Grant also relief that they may one day also experience that joy of being able to serve you freely. Father, thank you for uniting us with your people across the globe, from nations and peoples far away and close by. What a blessing it is to belong to that innumerable crowd of those gathered by Christ's word and spirit. Father, as true worship is centered around Christ before your throne, we may experience in the spirit that we're united with all the saints in worship, the saints of present and past. That's also with those who have gone before us. We grieve the loss of loved ones who've gone before us. Lord, we praise you that those who died in Christ may now be at home with Christ. Father, continue to prepare us all for glory as we follow the footsteps of those who've gone before us, as we focus on Christ. Father, continue to guide and bless your churches here and all over the world. Keep us all close to you and your word. Guard us against false teachings and sinful practices. Cause us all to be shining lights in a dark world. Father, we pray for Joseph Kim, who's indicated his desire to withdraw from the church. Show him your ways. Guide him in the truth. Get him to realize the consequences of his choice and to again seek the fellowship of your church. Draw him and his family close to you and, where applicable, back to your people. Father, we pray for our sister Esther Muska and their children Lena and Tyson. Comfort them and the Muska family as they face Jesse's funeral tomorrow. Thank you for the promise to be near the brokenhearted and to save the crushed in spirit. Thank you that you are greater than our feelings and that your promises are not dependent on our feelings. May Esther and the children and the Muska family experience your nearness and grace as they process their grief and pain. Father, we pray that we all may grow in faith and godliness. For this we need your Spirit to renew us, and we need Christ's blood to cleanse us. Bless us, therefore, as we open your word and hear it proclaimed. Speak to us, Lord, and mould us. We pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now receive the opportunity to give your offerings to the Lord. The collection is for the theological training in South Africa. And we'll sing after that from Psalm 99, verses 1, 2 and 6. Let's now open God's word, and we'll first read from the Old Testament, Leviticus 24, verse 10 to 23. We'll read this and also a passage from Hebrews 10 in connection with sermon on Lord's Day 36, which deals with the commandment, you should not use the name of the Lord in vain. For the Lord will not take it guiltless who use his name in vain. Leviticus 24 from verse 10. And there we read, now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and his Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. Then they put him in custody, that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp him who has cursed. Then at all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and at all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, animal for animal. If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbour, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. And whoever kills an animal shall restore it. But whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same law for the stranger and for one from your own country. For I am the Lord your God. Then Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and they took outside the camp him who had cursed, and stoned him with stones. So the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's now continue our scripture reading. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19 to 31. Hebrews 10 from verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which you were sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's our scripture reading. And this afternoon I want to preach God's word as we confess that in Lord's Day 36. It's page 553 in the Book of Praise. Lord's Day 36, the questions are asked and answered. What is required in the third commandment? We are not to blaspheme or to abuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor to share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. Rather, we must use the holy name of God only with fear and reverence, so that we may rightly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in all our words and works. Is the blaspheming of God's name by swearing and cursing such a grievous sin that God is angry also with those who do not prevent and forbid it as much as they can? Certainly, for no sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than the blaspheming of his name. That is why he commanded it to be punished with death. And we'll sing after the sermon from Psalm 111, verse 1, 2, and 4. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What do you think of when you hear that commandment? Many rightly think of the abuse of God's name by blaspheming or by cursing. Yet the tendency is then to look at outsiders in particular. We do think of all those blasphemous words they dare to speak. But brothers and sisters, to whom did God give the commandment, first of all? To outsiders? No. The commandment was first of all meant for God's own people, for you and me. We are placed under the discipline of the third commandment. It's especially God's people who can sin against this commandment. Why? Well, who knows the name of the Lord? Not unbelievers, but God's own people. The Lord has revealed his name to us. And the more I know God's glorious name, the greater the danger that I would abuse that name. And therefore, don't look to those outside. On the contrary, let every one of us examine himself in the light of God's word. I preach to you, do not use the name of the Lord in vain. And we'll consider 4 points. Firstly, what does it mean? Secondly, how relevant is it? Thirdly, how serious is it? And fourthly, what escape is there? The third commandment is primarily about uttering the name of the Lord. And then you must especially think of the name Lord with capital letters, which is a translation of Yahweh. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. You can render that name as follows: I am who I am. I am there, present to save. The living God, I do what I promise. I will demonstrate that I am what I promised I would be. You misuse that name when you mention a name in connection with what, with that which is empty, meaningless, with matters that God has nothing to do with. Think of false prophecy. You then claim, thus says the Lord. Well, the Lord has not said such a thing at all. You twist God's words and adapt them to what people like to hear, according to the spirit of the present age. You come with your own thoughts and words and claim that they're from God. Take, for example, the current views on gender and sexuality and other moral issues which deviate from God's word. How often are those unscriptural views not defended, even defended, on the basis of the gospel by people who call themselves Christians? What an insult to God. Think also of the false oath. You try to cover up lies by calling on the name of the Lord in the oath. You pretend that you're speaking the truth and nothing but the truth. In this way, God's name is abused in service of your lie. However, abuse of God's name does not only happen when I use that name inappropriately. The name of the Lord can also be abused without even mentioning the name. After all, what is the meaning of the name in this context? If someone has a name, then it means he is known. He's named and refers to what is known about his person and his deeds. The word name then is not so much about what someone is called, but what someone is and what someone has done. This is how it is with the name of the Lord. His name indicates what he is. I am who I am. His name is his fame, his reputation. It refers to his revelation, what he has made known of himself. Well, that name of the Lord has gained content throughout the history. His name has become more glorious all the time. At creation, his name was already glorious. It became even more glorious through his works of redemption. And that's why the Lord made himself known to Moses as Yahweh. He, the I Am, the Almighty One, is about to reveal himself even more clearly as the one who he is. He is going to intervene for his people, rescue them with a strong arm from the slavery of Egypt. And the Lord proceeds from one act of redemption to the next. Thus his name is revealed to us even richer in Jesus Christ. As the Son, Christ revealed the name of the Lord to his people. And he did it in such a way that he could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In him, the Lord God himself stands before you. And thus the name of the Lord is now fully revealed. You may know the Lord God from the fullness of Scripture. Beloved, one of the clearest ways of abusing God's name is to blaspheme and curse. We read about it in Leviticus 24. There you read of a young man who had a Jewish mother and an Egyptian father. The guy received a place among God's people. He got to know the Lord. He saw God's mighty acts. How he brought that mighty Pharaoh to his knees. How he forced Pharaoh to let his people go. He saw how the pillar of cloud accompanied Israel. How the Lord caused his people to pass through the Red Sea on dry ground, while Pharaoh and his army perished in the sea. In short, he grew up among God's people and saw God's mighty acts. Well, in spite of all this, the fellow dares to belittle the Lord and treat him with contempt. And this appears when he fights with an Israelite. He blasphemed the name and cursed, we read. Yes, he would have mentioned the name of the Lord. But there's more to it. Literally, it says in the text that he pierced the name. He gives the name, so to speak, a death blow. He declares that God to be powerless. The word cursing amounts to roughly the same thing. It means to treat someone as worthless, insignificant, despicable. In his anger against the Israelite, the fellow does not hesitate to attack the God of Israel. Not only does he mention the holy name of God, but he denigrates that name. This according to the idea of that time. If you want to hurt your enemy, then make sure you hurt his God. And in this way, you can break the power of your enemy. Well, this young man says insulting things about the Lord. He despises the name of the Lord. Yes, the Lord himself. The name that is so great and glorious is treated with contempt. Brothers and sisters, this example can help us identify blasphemy also today. And that brings us to the second point. How relevant is this? What does the blasphemer do? He says preposterous things about the Lord. He declares that God is powerless, insignificant. He says that God of yours really means nothing. He is nothing. He can do nothing. Well, do you not hear similar things being said today against the Lord your God? People suggest, if the Lord is an almighty and loving God, where is his help? Yes, where is he? Why all the misery in this world? Droughts, floods, earthquakes, pandemics, wars. Now, in a world full of misery, God appears to be powerless, they suggest. And thus many people, including people who still call themselves Christians, actually see the Lord as powerless, as a helpless God. He can't do anything bad either. He suffers with you. That's all he can do. Whereas God made himself known in the Bible and in creation as the Almighty One, who's always present. And let's not just look at outsiders. How do you see and experience the Lord your God? What does he mean to you? It's not just about the way you speak about God, but also about the way you think of him in your daily practice of life. Is the practice of your life, your daily life, attuned to your good confession? I can be faithful in doctrine, but do I practice what I preach in my daily life? Do I really live in dependence on him, trusting in him for who he is? I'm not there yet when I reject liberal theology, which dishonors God. I'm not there yet when I object to the God is dead theology. I'm not there yet when I protest against the denial of Christ's sacrifice to atone for our sins. Rejecting those teachings is a good and necessary thing. But with that, I'm not done yet with the third commandment. Such a conviction must also be evident in my Christian walk of life. A walk of life that gives God all glory. Well, brother, sister, how are you doing at this point? I can reject the God is dead theory and yet in practice live as though God is dead. How then? By ignoring him in my daily life and struggle. By reserving certain areas of life to myself. For example, my money matters, my entertainment, my friendship. And this can happen by acting as though God is not relevant for certain decisions in my life. The Bible clearly says there is no area of life just for yourself. Whether you eat or drink even, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. Otherwise you profane God's name. The Catechism sums up the positive side of the third commandment with the words, rather, we must use the holy name of God only with fear and reverence, so that we may rightly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in all our words and works. Use the holy name of God only with fear and reverence. Well, reverence for God's name, for his self-revelation, implies that I very carefully read what God says in his word and also faithfully pass that on. This also means that I must guard against lightly tying God's name to my personal views and opinions. Then I could end up letting God say things that he does not say. Let's be careful not to abuse God's name to advance our own cause, customs, or interests. Brothers and sisters, if I today insist that God says or commands something, and sometime later have to withdraw my words, because it can't be defended on the basis of Scripture, then I am discrediting God's name. The worst thing then is not that I'm shown to be mistaken, which is often difficult to recognize, to admit. But the worst thing is that I give the impression that God actually contradicts himself. After all, both times I asserted, this is the will of God. Well, let's then carefully read the scriptures and clarify it with fear and reverence so that God's name is not blasphemed because of us, but rather honored and praised. Using God's holy name only with fear and reverence also excludes the superficial use of his name. The latter occurs when my heart is no longer with it. When it has become for me just an external thing, a going through the motions. My confession and worship has then become hollow, a profanity. And now the third point, how serious is it? In the Old Testament, God decreed that the blasphemer should be killed. Among God's people, there's no room for anyone who blasphemes God and treats him as though he's useless and powerless. Whoever desecrates God's name desecrates God himself. And then the rule applies, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whoever kills a man shall be put to death. Leviticus 24, verse 20 and 21. But would the person who declares God to be dead or tries to give him a death blow then not deserve death? No sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than the blaspheming of his name. And that's why he also commanded it to be punished with death. Beloved, how much more serious is it in this rich New Testament dispensation? God's name has so gloriously been revealed in Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He died, rose, ascended to heaven, and poured out his Spirit. Everything is now so much richer and fuller. God's name shines like never before. And through the complete Bible, you possess the full knowledge of his name. That is how the Lord your God is. Not only did he deliver from the slavery of Egypt, but in Christ he delivered you from the bondage of sin and Satan. He proved himself to be the one he promised he would be, the Savior of his people. And he continues from one act of redemption to the next until all his promises are finally fulfilled in the new heaven and new earth. Well, this makes the third commandment all the more serious for us. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This command is far more urgent now that that name has been revealed more gloriously. The letter to the Hebrews points that out when it says in chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first was spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? God also bearing witness, both by signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. He will not leave unpunished those who take his full revelation, everything he's revealed about himself, in vain. In Hebrews 10, verse 28 and 29, we read, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he's been sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? After the coming of the Son of God, after the shedding of his blood, after the outpouring of his Spirit, the third commandment is far more serious. The name that is so glorious can also be so deadly. I can be mortally wounded by it. I could burn myself to death on it. It is a consuming fire for those who despise and disregard it. Let us therefore take seriously the holy name of God. Brother, sister, are you zealous for the glory of God's name? Do you show that in your lifestyle, also in your language? Let no profane word come out of your mouth, nor a swear word, even though the swear words are heard everywhere as expletives. God's name, the names Jesus and Christ, are precious and holy. If God's children do not respectfully use God's name, from whom can you then expect it? And how can people learn fear and reverence for God's name? If I use that name flippantly and inappropriately myself, let us show that the name of the Lord our God is precious to us in our words and deeds. Brothers and sisters, if we examine ourselves according to the strict requirement of the third commandment, we must confess that we too are guilty. Who then can stand before this holy God? And as we come to the fourth point, what escape is there? What sinner can stand before holy God? Only he or she who seeks salvation in Jesus Christ. Christ took my place. Me, a sinner. Also in glorifying God's name. He is the only person of whom it can be said that he rightly used, confessed, called upon, and honored God's name. He gave perfect glory to God in all things. He did all this as our substitute. He bore the punishment for our abuse of the name of God. In fact, Jesus Christ was condemned to death precisely because of alleged blasphemy. After all, Caiaphas, the high priest, said to him, "I'll put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you've heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Matthew 26, verse 63 to 66. Brothers and sisters, with this false accusation of transgressing the third commandment, Jesus Christ was condemned to death. Praise be to God. Here Isaiah's words apply. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He who was silent when he had to be silent. He who spoke when he had to speak. He died to pay for us who remained silent when we should have spoken. And who spoke when we should have been silent. Or should have spoken with fear and reverence. To hallow God's name, you must therefore go to Christ. You may find shelter in his accomplished work. He also atoned for my transgression of the third commandment. He who is in Christ is free from the curse. For if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. In Christ I'm righteous and holy before God. And through Christ, the latter will become more and more evident in a life to God's glory. Amen. Let's now sing a response, Psalm 111, the verses 1, 2, and 4. Thank the Lord and pray. Faithful God and Father, thank you for making yourself known to us through your word and through your deeds. Majestic and awesome is your name. Help us to use your name only with reverence and awe, so that we may rightly confess you, call upon you and praise you in all our words and works. Yes, Father, this is a tall order for us sinners. Thank you that Christ perfectly honored and praised you in his thoughts, words, and deeds. Thank you that he did that in our place. Thank you for forgiveness in his name. And thank you for his spirit and power, whereby we can again start to live according to your holy command. Continue to mold us in Christ's image, so that your name may not be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Father, there's still so much brokenness and suffering in this world. Conflicts and wars in various parts of the world. Massive bloodshed and destruction. Sickness and poverty. May many facing despair turn to you and find hope, peace, and salvation in Jesus Christ. Guide and sustain your people in those war-torn areas, that they may be a force for good to those around them, pointing them to you, the God of all comfort. Father, our hearts bleed when we see that conflict in the Middle East play out. A conflict no one seems to be able to resolve. There is such an intense hatred against the Jews, not just in the Middle East, but across the globe. Father, guide the Israelis in their response to the evil committed against them. May the terrorists be defeated and brought to account. And may the remaining hostages be freed. Bless relief efforts among innocent civilians caught up in the crossfire, who are used as shields by Hamas. Father, in your goodness, bring this conflict to a just end, so that Jews and Arabs can live in peace. Father, we plead for the Jewish people on the basis of their special place in redemptive history. You even call them beloved for the sake of their forefathers. It's from them that Christ was born, and from them that the gospel went out to the nations, also to us. Father, may many of them get to know Jesus Christ as their promised Saviour. Gather your elect from among them. Yes, may true peace be found between Jews and Arabs as they put aside their trust in human wisdom and strength and embrace Jesus Christ as the Saviour of the world. Father, may we all be peacemakers by reflecting your love and forgiveness in all relationships. You know every one of us, also our individual circumstances, our joys and struggles. Provide in all our needs. Heal those hurting. Grant each one of us the peace that passes understanding, the peace of knowing that we are safe in your hands, and that you will fulfill all your promises also to us. Keep us close to you and bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The concluding song is Psalm 135, the verses 1, 2, 6 and 10.
Yeah.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go home in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.